Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is taken from a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 29, Argument for the Existence of God, Episode 30 is entitled Principle of Opposition, A.
The dilemma of science is that they use existence itself as the cause of existence. They turn to the genetic code, evolution, and the Big Bang. The problem is that all three are evidence of intelligent design, and science categorically rejects intelligent design. They insist on clinging to a god of chance. To science, life is a lottery. We are here by a happy accident, only to be consumed by a giant heat death. We're insects flying into the flame. Fortunately for man, science collectively has one very important virtue. They believe inherently in law, and they are constantly, often ingeniously, looking for answers. And their discoveries are mind-boggling. Their contributions to medicine, to technology, to communication, to the origins of things, and so on, is magnificent. Where would we be without practical science? Regardless of personal philosophy, their inherent acceptance of order guarantees their ongoing integrity and their ongoing contribution to our survival. But on religious matters, we cannot look to science. If they can look through the Hubble telescope and see the endless creations of God, and yet not see the hand of God, then we may assume that if God were standing before them, they would examine the light of his countenance, but they would deny his presence and his power. However, we cannot understand God without understanding the principle of opposition. If there is God, there must be Satan. If there is good, there must be evil. If there is light, there must be darkness. If there is law, there must be lawlessness. If there is heaven, there must be hell. If there is joy, there must be misery. The first thing we must understand is who God is and who Satan is. They are opposites. If they didn't exist, everything would be meaningless. We have free will only because we have a spirit endowed with an immortal intelligence. We have agency only because we are enticed by both God and Satan. We have freedom only because we have both a spirit body and a physical body, faced with a multiplicity of choices. We have liberty only because we have the Ten Commandments. We have a democratic republic only because we have a strong constitution and an inspired Bill of Rights. None of those can survive in a world of relativity. We must have absolutes, and law provides absolutes. All laws of God increase freedom. Disobedience to the laws of God, whether temporal or spiritual, reduces freedom. If you seek freedom elsewhere, you will find captivity camouflaged as freedom. We need to understand the nature of God so that we can understand who we worship or what we worship. We need to understand the nature of Satan so that we can understand who the enemy is. We often love that which we should fear. In Christian terms, the two most important attributes of God are omniscience, all-knowing, and omnipotence, all-powerful. If God did not possess those attributes, then he could not be trusted. He would be constantly experimenting. We would be guinea pigs. Everything we see would be a giant experiment. To God, there can be no surprises and no uncertainties. Another significant attribute of God is that he is a God of perfect order. He is unchangeable. If he were a changeable God, then we'd be constantly unsettled, uncertain. Agency depends upon us being able to serve one or the other, to become like one or the other, to imitate one or the other, God or Satan. Opposition brings choices, and choices coupled with knowledge brings agency. All problems derive from the fact that we have agency. For example, if there were only God, there would be no evil to choose from. If there were only Satan, there would be no good to choose from. In the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The one was opposite to the other. Agency existed only in theory, however, until Lucifer entered into the garden and enticed Adam and Eve to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What good is agency without choices? Adam and Eve did not have the ability to exercise their agency until Lucifer entered into the garden. For action to take place, there must be an outside force. When they chose to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were actually choosing for themselves and all of their posterity the ability to exercise their agency. It was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that gave them agency. Without knowledge, one cannot have agency. Consider agency as the ability to make spiritual choices, and freedom the ability to make temporal choices. Both are necessary in our world. The more we understand about the spiritual world, the more we can avoid the consequences of evil and enjoy the consequences of good. The more we understand about the temporal world, the more we can avoid the consequences of making choices that are harmful to our physical body. We have both a spirit body and a physical body. Therefore, to endure this fallen earth, we must understand both the spiritual laws and the temporal laws. I spoke of the law of justice as the absolute governing law of everything. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, they found themselves at odds with the law of justice. It doesn't matter that they were tempted by Lucifer. It doesn't even matter whose fault it was. The law of justice does not consider circumstances. One is either inside the law of justice or outside the law of justice. The moment they ate of the forbidden fruit, they fell outside the law of justice, and justice could not bring them back. To remain absolute, justice must be uncompromising. Justice does not listen to argument. In our mortal world, we think of justice as fairness. Hey, that's not fair, we will say. In the immortal world, justice has nothing to do with fairness. The entire role of justice is to maintain absolute order in the universe, which is run by absolute law. Even one small compromise and the universe would begin to unravel. That is the grand paradox, isn't it? If justice were compromised, then everything would return to maximum disorder. Life cannot exist in maximum disorder. It is what science calls maximum equilibrium. It would be a universe of eternal nothingness. Everything depends upon the uncompromising law of justice. The law of justice is one law. But only the law of justice is unconditional. All other laws are conditional. They operate on the principle of causality. Otherwise, free will, agency, freedom, and liberty could not occur. The first principle of freedom is knowledge. Christ said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Earth is assigned two sets of laws, temporal laws and spiritual laws. All are conditional. All have a cause, and all have an effect. If we know the cause, we can predict the effect, and therefore we can govern our lives accordingly. If we want the blessings of a temporal world, we must understand and obey the laws of the temporal world. If we want the blessings of a spiritual world, we must understand and obey the laws of a spiritual world. That is what it means when Christ said that we will be judged by our work. Our works are measured by our obedience or disobedience to law. Temporal judgment comes from temporal laws, and spiritual judgment comes from spiritual laws. Law provides the standards of judgment by which we will be judged. All laws, whether temporal or spiritual, have conditions and are subject to the principle of causality. Because all laws have conditions, we can have free will, agency, and freedom. The entire purpose of life is to allow us to exercise our free will. I know that we have the privilege on this earth to follow God or to follow Satan. In the final analysis, we will all be judged by our works. In other words, we will be judged by the laws we chose to obey or disobey. Satan does not make laws. He is the negation of God. His entire reason for being is to persuade us to break the laws of God, because he knows it will bring us misery and captivity. Satan does not create evil. In fact, Satan does not create anything. He is the destroyer. I love the Jewish phrase, the spoiler. Satan is only on earth by permission so that we can have agency. Satan is neither omniscient nor omnipotent. Satan is Antichrist. Strictly speaking, we do not obey the laws of Satan because he has no laws. We may choose to follow Satan, but we may only choose to obey or disobey the laws of God. Evil does not self-exist. Evil exists only because laws exist. Remove law and you remove evil. All evil is disobedience to law. One could say, well, let's just remove law and we would remove evil. That's exactly what is happening today in society. We are changing our laws to accommodate our desires. The problem is that we may change the laws of society, which naturally affect our courts, but we cannot change the laws of God. They are, by necessity, absolute and unchangeable, because God is absolute and unchangeable. God's laws are fixed. They're not fluid. Evil is disobedience to the laws of God, and Satan's entire existence is dedicated to persuading us to disobey the laws of God. Satan knows the consequences of disobeying the laws of God. It brings misery, captivity, and death, spiritual and temporal. His goal is to separate us from God, and to separate us from God, he must separate us from the laws of God. Every move away from the Ten Commandments, for example, is a movement away from God, away from the laws of God, and therefore away from liberty.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.